Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hello, Bengals fans. We are back, and the Bengals are back. They're going to be back tomorrow night with the preseason opener. I am Matt Minnick, and old friend of the channel, old friend of the podcast, Zim Hude, joining me today to talk a little Bengals 2022 season. Not only preseason, but 2022 season. Zim, how are we doing today?
Man, I'm doing great, man. I appreciate you having me on here. I'm so glad you talked to me and remembered me. I'm very excited, like, for real. Like, because I do a really good job of trying to be like, hey, how's everybody doing? I'm like, man, I haven't talked to Matt in a second, so I'm so appreciative that you reached out and we, you know, I've been following all your stuff, and I'm glad to be on here, man.
That's great. I mean, hey, you're the big timer moving on to, you know, moving on to bigger and brighter things over there, Cincinnati, and you know, so I'm glad you didn't forget about me.
No, I can't forget about you. This is the Barry White of football right here, people.
we're live right now on the Orange and Black Insider YouTube station, as well as Cincy Jungle's Facebook. You've got questions, bring them in. You know, we were just talking about, you know, I like to plan things and have everything to a T, but then, you know, man, stuff goes crazy. We go off on tangents, and that's all right. So, good to see Frank Randolph, Dan the Man already in the chat.
What's up, Frank? What's up, Dan? What's going on? We back. You guys ready for some football? We got Baltimore playing tonight. You know, you got a lot of things going on right now. You guys ready? I'm pumped.
Let's do it. I'm pumped. It looks like these guys are ready to go here too. And so, I mean, from the sounds of it, the preseason opener, not going to see anybody who's really entrenched in a starting spot. But, you know, we're going to see more reps for Dax Hill, who's been taking all of Jesse Bates' free safety reps throughout camp. And it sounds like we're going to see Jackson Carmen as well, obviously has some starting experience. Yes. And is the number one left guard right now. And, you know, for the sound of it, we're hearing really positive things about him coming out of camp. We're not hearing that Cordell Volson is, you know, breaking any, you know, down any of that ground right now. Zim, who are you excited, you know, to see that we actually think we're going to see tomorrow night?
Man, you hit on a lot of these. It's a lot to unpack just with that. Dax Hill, you know, if he is the new chosen one or whatever coming up, you got to get him. I love throwing guys into the fire and saying what they're made of. It's crazy because I've seen a couple highlight clips here and there. I know a couple people been to camp said they look pretty good, but we really haven't heard that much stuff for a first round pick. Isn't it the quietest first round pick that you've ever heard of in your whole entire life? So to see him in action, and then like just to watch him maybe make like his closing speed, I want to see like what is his range at. I want them to test him. I want all of these things to happen. Maybe it doesn't, you know, but I just want to see the guy play. I do want to see Tyshawn Anderson as well, not just on special teams, because I really liked a lot of different things from him. It was so hard to get tape on it. I know that you know, you probably looked it up, yeah. But I had somebody send me like different stuff. I mean, it looked like it was recorded on like a, you know, like a VHS on some of this stuff. So I really want to see him like live in action. Volson, I think it's a beautiful thing that your second round pick in Carmen isn't being challenged at the level that people maybe wanted it to. I don't know. That's a high draft pick. That's high equity. It's the reason why we were so high, or at least I was really high on Jamar Chase. I mean, you were on that team, you know. So you know, like it was part of the. It goes hand in hand with, hey, look, there's a guy that we like, or a couple guys that we like in the second round that we feel like we can thrust into action. We won't miss a beat, and for him to come into camp, look motivated. You know, I know the off the field stuff kind of went away or whatever, got that out the way, and it was no validity to it, at least to, you know, my knowledge or whatever. So that's good. all signs point to good things happening for him, and that's what you want to see from the guy. And the icing on the cake is Volson is a guy. I don't know if you guys have ever watched Fargo, but, like, you know, he's got that dip in his mouth, and he's just talking that talk. And I just don't feel like he's afraid of any moment. And I love the fact that maybe Jackson Carmen, maybe Kappa get dinged up here and there. I feel like Volson is going to step up and say, yeah, I got this.
Yeah, I love his draft day, like, celebration was in his dad's the business they own. They do something where they, like, salvage railroad cars that have been, like, off the tracks, something crazy like that, you know. But you see, it's like the shop that they were in. It was like, yeah, that's alignment, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you need a little oil on your hands. I don't want to be looking. Your hands shouldn't look anything like mine. I need grease on your hands.
Oh, bro. Yeah. Now, you know, you hit a couple of things there. I mean, first of all, the whole, like, Jackson Carmen, they said right away, they're like, we thought this guy was a first round pick, you know, right. And we recently found out that there were more things than just the injury that pushed him out of the first round. More concerns with just that, you know. But in terms of, you know, on the football field, like, you can see that there were some things there, you know, there was some talent there. I didn't love the pick right away. And when it was rumored before it happened, and I was like, ooh, and then somebody said guard, and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I could see, like, I kind of got mad at myself. I was like, yeah, no, I don't think he has it to take the speed rushers on the edge. Right. But he's pretty good with guys in space, you know, like when he has, like, can find space at guard. So right. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. Gavin Huxley has a great question here. And you know what? I'm going to get into this because you got into DBs first, but I want to go back and talk about all these rookie DBs in a minute, so don't let me forget that. But
right. I won't let you go astray. I got you.
And you know all of my DBs. So how many players in the D-line do you think will carry into the regular season, and who misses out? This is really interesting to me. I wrote an article about this. I did a film room about the young defensive linemen a few weeks ago. Like, okay. They've got – look, we know who the starting four are, and it's a good starting four. But they've got some really talented guys from the last two or three draft classes. You know, Carter, Osai, we've got, you know, Tyler Shelvin.
You know who's been looking good? Gunther. Gunther been looking good. And did you see that interview he had like a day ago? And he was like, man, I got a chip on my shoulder. I watched 251 guys come off the board before me. Like, he's ready to kill somebody. I think he's going to have a preseason performance similar to Osai last year. Like, maybe not dominating Tristan Wirfs, but I think he's going to flash, like, you know, and I think people are going to get excited about it.
He is super quick, and that's what he's only like 260, but I honestly think that he could be a guy that you put at D tackle on you know, on third and 10, you know, and because I think that that's – I don't know if he has, like, the real – I don't know if he can beat Tristan Wirfs off the edge. You know, I don't know if he has that kind of burst, you know, that kind of edge speed, but I think you know, you line him up on the guard and just let him shoot a gap, or, man, you know, you put him in the A gap and let him bam go across the center's face, something like that. I think he's, like, super quick in that way. I think that's where he can really stand out and be special. And, man, Lou Anarumo is so smart when it comes to figuring out what guys are good at. I mean, look at how they use Trey Flowers. You know, look at the way they use some of these guys that have had some issues in other places. Man, my face looks weird because of the light behind me. But,
I hate when that happens. Like, that happens in my kitchen here sometimes.
Yeah. But,
I hate when that happens. It doesn't look weird on my end, though.
Oh, okay. It looks weird to me. But yeah, I know, like, you know, and Gunter, too. Like, the Bengals have had this history of going after big schools, but, you know, Gunter's a guy, not a big school, but, like, they took a nothing program that nobody cared about and won, like, 22 games in 2 years or something like that, you know, and got themselves, you know, ranked and got it to where people were like, why aren't these, you know, motherfuckers in the playoffs? You know what I mean? So,
listen, one of my favorite Super Bowl teams of all time, just from a, like, structure standpoint, is the Philadelphia Eagles team. And Doug Peterson, someone gave me the book or whatever. It's a really good read. But the rotation, the defensive line absolutely took over a lot of times in these games. I feel like people that are really high on, like, a team like the Bills this season, they're high on it for, like, the glamour portion of it, I think. But the thing that I've been looking at a lot more is their defensive line rotation. I really think it's strong as hell. Like, Gregory Rousseau and all these guys like that they could just throw in there. Like, it's no joke. That Josh Allen might get a lot of headlines, but their D-line is going to carry. I think that the Bengals, though, if they can get production from Gunther and Osai is even 70% of what we think it is, it's scary because some of the stuff that you were just talking about, imagine an offensive lineman going to war with Trey Hendrickson and company throughout the whole game, and then all of a sudden, here comes this guy coming in on a third down, running 100 miles per hour with that type of quickness. It's such a crazy change of pace. And then, you know, like you just said, Lou is like a mad scientist. So he might drop a guy like that back into the flats and take some of that stuff out of there too. You got Akeem Davis Gaither, who I'm dying to see. I remember his Dolphins game 2020. They sent him off the edge. I might put the clip on my Twitter there. It's one of my favorite plays. They line him up almost like in a 3-4 hybrid type of setup or whatever, and he's coming off the edge. He dives like 4 or 5 yards, catches the guy in backfield or whatever. Like, I could see Gunther sliding and doing different stuff like that. Then here comes Wyatt Hubert or whatever. Going back to your piece that you said, do you carry 10 carry 10 guys? Do you carry 9? Do you carry 11? Where are you at with that? And who might be the odd man out? A lot of people have been telling me Kareem. And that's my guy. You know, that when I was with Orange and Black, that was one of my first interviews, and I still keep in contact with him. That's my guy. One of the biggest play, 7-6 Broncos game. We're both fighting for our playoff lives. Takes the ball right out of Locke's hand and, you know, saves the game. That's a big play. Who's the 10, 11, 9, and who's the guy out?
Yeah, that's tough for me too, because when you talk about Gunter, like I'm like, Gunter's gonna be tough. Maybe he kind of squeaks in there. I thought he might be the odd man out there, but you know, I mean, maybe it's Hubert. Kareem, I feel like he's a more complete player than all of the other backup defensive ends. Like, I feel like he's stronger against the run. Like, he's a more solid complete player, whereas I feel like Hubert, Osai, very good pass rushers that can do some other things, especially I feel like Hubert can move around. I feel like he's got like a little bit of like Sam Hubbard in him. And that's not just complexion, but you know, like you can move the guy around a little bit. So I don't know, because I think Kareem is more complete. I think he's less sexy. You know, I don't think he's
not as sexy, but when you talk about the undersized Gunther, here's a guy. I don't know if y'all remember like what Kareem looked like coming into the league, and then looking at him now, like, you know, night and day. He's a lot bigger than what, you know, than I remember him coming in as a rookie too. So you talk about like being a pro, getting your body to the right, the right weight that you need to be at to take on a lot of these guys pounding inside if you are going to slide inside, you know. So like, he has the ability to do that along with Cam Sample. And I guess we got to see, does the staff value that? Or does Gunther just come out there? What was the dude last preseason that everybody was getting hype about? Osai goes down. Then what was the kid that came
in? What was his name?
And he was going, and everybody's like, yeah, let's go. And then he started probably week one or two and just straight up got like.
Yeah, he could run off the edge, but that like.
Who was that dude?
Oh man, I'm blanking on it. Somebody's gonna imagine
Gunther having a preseason. Somebody in the comments, like, I wish I had a prize I can give. Somebody tell me who that guy is. Cause he was like killing. He was killing. It wasn't Wyatt Ray. It was Wyatt Ray came.
No,
later.
No, it was a UDFA. It was an undrafted rookie.
Yes.
Who the hell was it?
Not
White Ray. Yeah, somebody young.
Hodge.
Abdul Hodge, right? Yeah.
Hodge. So he comes out there, has the, you know, all this stuff. We're like high on him. He comes out there week one and gets blanked. And then I don't know if we ever heard from him ever again, right? Like where is he?
He went to the practice squad and somebody swiped him up. And people got mad when he got swiped out of the practice squad too, but.
He might have started 2 games. Somebody could probably correct me if I'm wrong.
Darius. I thought it was Darius. Abdul for some reason. Abdul Hodge is somebody.
I just knew Hodge.
Linebacker in the 90s or something like that. I don't know. I have so many old football names in my head. It's ridiculous. But or some guy I recruited from Connecticut. I don't know.
You still – hold on. You still dodge my question. How many guys are they carrying and who is the odd man out? Stop trying to dodge around it from the people.
All right. You know what?
Give them the hot take. Give them the hot stuff, Matt.
Somebody says Sample. And I don't think it's Sample because I think Sample,
I don't think it's Sample. Is
right there in the mix with Zach Carter to be like a pass rush three technique. I think it's Tupou. It hurts, but I think it's Tupou because I think Shelvin can do enough. I think Shelvin will step up, and I think Shelvin takes over that spot. Tupou? I think it might be Tupou, and then you got to be able to put Sample in some of those run situations when they're going heavy.
That's a risky proposition.
Yeah, that's my thought right now.
Because
I'm in love with all the young guys. You know what I mean? Like, I want to keep all these young guys as many as I can.
You talk about unsexy. Tupou is the most unsexiest one out of them all. Mm-hmm. But I almost look at him like he's the immediate backup to Rita. I don't look at Shelvin like he's that. Like, have you seen enough from Shelvin to make you feel like that's the next beef behind Rita?
No, but here's the thing. Look at what they did with the offensive line last year. You know, like Michael Jordan probably should have been the backup guard. You know what I mean? Like he was probably the like, I understand why we all hate him, but you know, like Michael, like he probably should have, you know, like there were some other guys around. What did they do? They went out and their entire second string was like rookies and second year guys. Like they went young and they went for the potential. So that's how I kind of see it. Like maybe they're doing that with the D-line this year. They really loaded it up. I think if these guys step up, maybe they take that. And honestly, like, is Tupou a guy you can stash? You know, like with what they let you do on the practice squad now?
Well, now if I remember in the offseason, I don't know the stipulations of his contract. Like, I don't know if that has anything to do with it. You know, like, you know, his contract in the offseason, he signed. But I guess once you put him on a practice squad, like, I don't know if that's non-exclusive or, you know, like, if you, like, somebody would have to school me on that portion of it. But I do remember, like, him getting a separate contract that I think protects him. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Okay. I am unaware of that, but I'll buy it. But yeah, I don't know. It's going to be tough because, I mean, at first I was thinking, like, people were kind of high on Gunter, and I was like, yeah, man, it's going to be tough for him. But yeah, now with him showing, I don't know. I have a harder time seeing Kareem go. I mean, Hubert could go too. You know, we'll see. I mean,
I think if it was me, I
decide things too.
I think they carry 10 most weeks. I think Hubert will be the one guy out. That's who I think.
Yeah,
that's what I was gonna say. I feel like his role to get to where he wants to go is a lot. It's a lot steeper of a climb than some of these other guys. I mean, like Gunther's the fresh pick. And I just don't think you could stash him right now. I think you could stash Wyatt because of there literally being no tape from last year because he was injured the whole season. Mm-hmm. Right. So I feel like you could get away with that. Like that would be the guy. Quick plug. We interviewed Chidobe Awuzie yesterday, me and my partner Ace, who I hope you remember as well.
Oh, yeah.
So me and Ace interviewed Chido yesterday, a really, really good interview on Cincinnati Pod or whatever. But he told me off air, though, we were just talking. We don't really talk football that much. I almost feel funny talking football with, like, a lot of football guys sometimes. Like, guys actually on the team, I always think they're going to look at me and be like, what the hell can you tell me? I'm actually out there. But anyway. He was telling me, he said, man, somebody said something about like, man, you're having a really good camp. He was like, no, up front, they're really doing, you know, like they're making my job a lot easier. So that is one of the things that I think is going to be a major strength. There's a lot of good reports, you know, coming out of there. You know, part of that is, you know, I get it. You know, Joe isn't back there throwing it, but I feel like Allen's giving him good looks, though. I feel like Allen's extending, doing some of the Joe-like stuff. Just to get people the looks, and the defense has been holding serve, bro.
There was a great clip of him taking a fade ball away from Chase the other day. Not a lot of people can do that. You know what I mean?
I showed it to him live on the interview because he's like at Paul Brown. They're having like ping pong wars, like back and forth every day now. Like they are going at it the players or whatever. It's like Cheeto, Tyler Boyd and them are like at the top big time championship tournament going on. But I was showing them that somebody was playing, Marcus Bailey was playing ping pong in the back end on the interview. It's on the interview, but in the back of it. And I'm showing them the clip of it. And I'm like, man, Like, what do you think of that? I mean, he was like, yeah, I was there. You know, like, he's not really – I feel like they're going at it so hard on the field now that it's not really, you know, like, it's starting to become like, yeah, like, I'm that guy now and I'm CB1 in the confidence. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, if I talk to him sometimes, he's just like, yeah, everything went smooth. Like, I don't think he's getting too high, too low on anything. I feel like Eli had a great day yesterday. Eli went – 4 out of 5 reps on that same fade one-on-one that they were doing with Chase, too. So yeah. Eli had a brilliant day yesterday, too. So, like, I feel like the guys are, like, really, really getting a lot of cohesion going.
Yeah, I mean, and you see they're going up against the Migos. You know, they're going up against the best unit there is. And, I mean, this is a great transition here. And let's start. I mean, you know, Cheetah's a great example of the Bengals being able to find a guy, you know, in Eli too. Find a guy, use him right, make the most out of him, you know. But now they went and they really attacked that position. Depth has been an issue there for years. You know, I think honestly, a lot of the heat that Lou took, you know, a couple years ago was they didn't have anybody like. Oh my! Wow, I already lost his name. But the guy that never played, who was also on your show,
who? Trey Waynes?
Yes, yes.
He wasn't. I never had him.
No.
Nope. Mm-mm.
Where did I see him? Because he was talking about his outdoor
around.
Maybe it was the puppets. I thought it was you guys. Maybe it was the puppets that had him.
I never even attempted to talk to him. Like, I just feel like I didn't even feel like I could talk to him about anything.
Somebody got him right away, and he was
for real.
He was plugging his outdoor store.
I
thought it was.
Don't you hate it when you talk to like an outside fan that doesn't honestly know like our story or our all season stuff, and then they'd be like, "Yeah, I mean, you guys got Eli Apple," and I'd be like, "Yeah, we do, but we also really had Trey Waynes, and we were missing our starting corner, and then you start talking about the Super Bowl, you know, because I think Bengals fans are a little bit more like hardier, and we're just like more tough skinned. It's just like." The average fan that I run into online will be like, yeah, well, we lost because we didn't have Riley Reiff and we didn't and go through. I think the most common Bengals fan for all these years, it's like we harden our skills by just saying like,
yeah,
Mike Brown's cheap and we, you know, like, and doing all that so much that, you know, by the time we got to the Super Bowl, we were like, yeah, we lost. And yeah, we hate the call on third down. And yeah, we hate the fact that P. Ryan was in the game and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But we're not giving excuses on like, yeah, we should have had Trey Waynes and stuff. Like, we weren't really as healthy as everybody would like us to be. But
no.
Trey Waynes is a big.
They have this great injury luck. It's like.
Bro, well, they gave Burrow 31
Burrow
million.
Burrow just didn't get hurt. Great, but, you know.
Bro, if Burrow doesn't, you know, and I'm at the game, so I don't even know he's hurt. Like, anybody that's there at the game, I challenge them. Like, I saw him kind of slowly coming off the field. It wasn't until, like, 2 days I got home and I'm like, somebody was texting me. It was like, man, is Burrow okay? I'm like, what? Like, if you're at the game, you don't even know that he's got hurt because he goes to the sideline, Rams get the ball, and then, you know, Burrow comes back, you know. But remember, that's a long drive because all the penalty and all that stuff like that. He comes back, and I'm not even thinking about that. But then later on, you're, like, watching him limp and stuff. I'm like, sheesh, that was bad. And I was just going to say, this guy, Trey Waynes, took $31 million from the Bengals in 2 years, never played. Imagine – if we go out to the Super Bowl with that, imagine if they could have took that same $31 million and got, like, you know, anybody, like another offensive line, another interior three tech or something. You'd probably have a Super Bowl championship just off of that.
Or a left guard, you know, or right guard.
Or a left guard. Or a left guard. Like, you could have had a lot of different things if you really look at that last year's team. And I don't think people
give
us our credit on that part of it. It's like,
give Joe Thuney that money, you know, see what he can do. But
Joe Thuney.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
But, yeah, I mean, now we look at this and like, the defensive backfield was already really good last year. You know, like, both those corners stepping up. I mean, Eli played very well all year, all year long. And again, you have to give this coaching staff credit for the way they brought in guys who have had issues in different places and have managed to really understand their game and to get the most out of those guys. But now they go out, they trade up for Cam Taylor-Britt, who – again, now it sounds like he's not really pushing Eli that much. We'll see what happens tomorrow night. That's definitely a guy to look for tomorrow night. You know, and then you've got, we already mentioned Dax Hill and Tyson Anderson. You know, I'm with you on Anderson. Like, I did not feel satisfied with the film that I broke down on him. And I wrote a film room piece. I did my best on it. But it's like, man, you see the skills. You see the speed. They use him in a lot of different ways. But you're like, man, and he's like brilliant too. He's high school valedictorian.
Yeah, right.
He
yeah.
played like 900 special team snaps in his career or something because he played 5 years. Right.
I think he goes crazy for us in special teams. Like,
oh,
like
I'm sure he does.
Like,
yeah.
I think he's going to go crazy this year. Like, I think he's going to be like the guy. Like, say Stanley Morgan beats out or something like that. Maybe he's the new. You know, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's so many guys and so much depth. That special team should take a leap forward. How about Drew Chrisman? I'm not trying to like switch, but what about that? Like, what if he can hold? This is one thing I want everybody to look at. If we go to the game, I don't care who's kicking the football, whatever. If this guy doesn't mess up any holds, which is people aren't talking about that portion of it. If he doesn't fumble the bag on any of those holds and he comes out clean, we have a new punter here in Cincinnati as well. Like, I think he clears Huber. Any punt I've seen in any highlight or anything that anyone's shown me, he's absolutely booming. So, like, it's not a question of who's punting better. It's like, can he hold for Evan McPherson and never make a mistake?
I mean, honestly, like, that's the big thing about it because, like, yeah, there's some games he didn't even see Huber, you know, except holding. that is definitely the big thing, underrated thing there. I mean, we haven't heard much about it, but I feel like the long snapper they brought in, like, you heard a lot about this guy, like way more than we should have heard about a long snapper. And like Clark Harrison could be a tough guy, but you know, tough guy to knock off, but man, this could be the guy. You know, maybe he's like Chrisman, maybe he sticks around in the practice squad for a year or something, but could be some changes coming there to some of those veterans. And yeah, I mean, if both of those guys are gone, how much does the average age of the team drop?
Right, bro. Like, I mean, what are we, like the fifth or sixth youngest team now? We probably go to like second if both of those. I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to tell you something that make you sick to your stomach. If they were to drop Clark, if Clark Harris were to get, you know, kicked off with it, I think a team like in our division would just be like, bro, he snapped so good in his division for this long. Like, let's get him. And I think they would just say, all right, give me Clark Harris. Like, and you might see him win another uniform with somebody you hate. I think he would just continue to just snap and be solid and never make a mistake.
It's a tough skill set. You know what I mean?
Like, I would. I know the Steelers remember the Steelers drafted a long snapper two years ago. I don't know what other guys are like really looking like, but if I'm in division and I watch this dude for the last decade, never fumble, you know, like squander any snap. I'd be like, yeah, give me that guy. Like, that's what they do to our players anyway. They just wait for us to, like, you know, their skills to diminish a little bit and they just pick them all up. So that's something to look for. But I mean, another dude too, Zach Carter, you know.
Yeah.
If you were to ask me what is the only hole on the team right now, I don't consider them losing Ogunjobi a hole. It's just something or a variable of unknown that I don't know. Because every single element of this team, I do know. I do know what I can get from Jackson Carman if healthy. I do know. I think I know his ceiling. I think I know where he's at. And it's a bit of a variable at left guard because we just haven't seen enough of it, right? But losing your starting, you know, three tech and Ogunjobi, and then replacing it was Zach Carter, who I think is probably the most productive three tech in the SEC this past season. I think he had like 7 sacks with the Gators. Some of his, you talk about tape, murderous stuff, like I mean, stuff that drive coordinators, like that give them hard-ons at night. Like, this dude is serious business. But
I posted a clip on Twitter of Evan Neal trying to reach block him, and he's just like, "Get out of here!
Get out of here!" But it is the North, and he is a little bit undersized. I know when he, I think it was 280 or something. I don't know at what point that was. I don't know where he probably get to. Where I think he needs to be 290 something. If it were me, but I don't know where he's at in that part. But to expect, like, he's got to have impactful snaps like year one, and if he doesn't, then you got to get creative with sample. Inside, you got to get creative. That's where I say, like, the two-pile part of it, I'm like, at least on first and second downs, I know I got a solid guy that I think will play mistake-free. If I'm going against a predominantly run team, I feel like I'm straight. But Zach Carter, if he can give me anything in the run game and then give me, like, a couple pressures, like, give me 10 snaps that I do early in the season, like, week one, week two, and if he gives me, like, some impactful plays, I'll say, yeah, let's go. But if not, you're going to be trying to figure that part out. And that is the one thing, you know, that I grab on. When people say me that the Bengals are going to, you know, like, drop down, I'm like, no. All these guys are going to get better. Jamar's going to light up your world. He's going to make you sick. We're going to kill you. We're going to – you're going to kind of pay core, and you're going to pay – we're going to tax all your DBs, and I'm going to destroy your team. Like, I'm going to talk all my trash, but at the same time, I do know that that is a variable that I'm inviting into – harm's way, because we don't know what we're getting from the three tech position, and also I'm always be looking at Zach. But those are the two very, like, the more tangible things that I can grab and say, hey, look, this is something that I don't feel as confident in.
Yeah, I mean, and how does, I mean, yeah, how do all those guys fit in? Like I said, I think it's a very young group. I think there's a lot of different ways you can do it. I do think, like, going back and watching games last year, I think you were really starting to see Sample kind of turn a corner and step up, and they did use him a lot of different ways. So I think we're underrating what his role could be in that type of mix, and that would have to be a thing where they just feel really good about him and Carter, if I'm right about the Tupo thing, which, you know, that, you know, again, you ask for a take, you ask for a bold take. I went out there.
Hey, look, if one of the young guys do it, I'm all for it. Like, let's go. Like, you know, I want that. I want the young guns to come out there and play, because I feel like that just keeps my window even, you know, more open. So I'm all for it.
Danny, man, I wonder what position groups you're looking at. I mean, I think we're both probably mostly focused on the D-line on the defensive side, you know, actually, that's part of the conversation. I want to see Dax Hill and what he's doing.
Can you imagine Cam Taylor-Britt getting a pick six, though? You know what that would be like? What do you think the fans would do against, like, Eli? Would they totally turn on? Because I feel like right now we're guarding Eli. Everybody's like, he's trash. And then all the Bengals are like, no, back off of him. This is our guy. Eli straight, don't touch him. Cam Taylor-Britt get a pick six. They go like, I don't know about this guy.
No, I'm with you on that.
Super athletic.
I hope we let it play out. You know what I mean? Because Eli doesn't deserve that.
Right.
Eli's a huge part of that run.
Man, internet pressure is so crazy, though. Internet pressure will have you thinking somebody without even seeing them. People just start to form these crazy opinions. Like, man, I was talking – look, I had an interview with Maurice Jones-Drew yesterday. This is a guy on NFL Network. This is going to air tomorrow. Oh, no, it's going to air tonight. It's going to air tonight. You know, in the interview, he said, like, Eli was getting – he was like, man, Eli was getting, I don't want to misquote it, but, like, abused all year. I was like, what? What game? Like, what game was this? You know, like, and so, but it's just, it's a thing.
Yeah.
If you are Cincinnati Twitter, Bengals. Like,
huh? He was getting abused by Twitter, on Twitter, right? By Giants and Saints fans.
Yeah. All the salty New York Giants fans, all the salty Saints fans, has spewed all their hate online. Then you got all these memes and all these things. Before you know it, think about it. If you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan, there was one primetime game last year. When would you even have seen them? Mm-hmm. And think about how many people have an opinion of your team and they never seen them. When have you seen them? In the Super Bowl, the playoffs, maybe. Some people chose to not even watch half those playoff games, like especially like the Titans game. That's not like a hot, sexy game at the time. You know what yeah. I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, they didn't see any of your games, but yet they'll go online and tell you everything about your team. But they never seen. They think that the Bengals had like some high-flying offense. No, they were super inconsistent. And they would make big plays at the in the halves, and they probably, and it ended up being the seventh ranked offense in football. They weren't like amazing; like this wasn't the greatest show on turf. Ja'Marr Chase had 120 targets. To put that in perspective, Deontay Johnson had 169 targets and ended up with 500 less yards than Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase took 81 passes while I was screaming at my TV set every single week of my life, like, get this guy the ball. Give him an end around. Throw a smoke screen. He took 81 targets and lit the league on fire. And people think that, oh, yeah, you guys, Joe Burrow was just throwing it to Ja'Marr Chase and you guys wouldn't be anything. Like, no, he didn't throw it to him enough. He went to the Super Bowl, cooked up Jalen Ramsey, and only got 5 targets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? Like nobody knows about the Bengals except Bengals fans. I'm convinced, bro.
And I mean, and honestly, part of that comes back to the one thing that people do know about the Bengals was the struggles that they had on the offensive line last year. And now, like, that's the thing is they have all this potential. Like, people don't realize what they did offensively last year and, you know, how good they could be with those guys. But they weren't yet. And, you know, like on top of what the pass game can be with improved play on the offensive line, you throw Mixon in there too. So, like, you've got all this talent there. And we can talk about Mixon. I think that's the obvious one. I think, you know, like you look at that and you say, man, they did all this to the O-line. They're changing the attitude, the demeanor, the glass eaters, right? Yeah. And we're going to give Mixon the ball. And
right.
I really think – TB might be the one that really, really cashes in on this. Like, it's hard to say he's the top receiver. You know, who's going to say that? But honestly, like, he might be Chase and Boyd are the 2,000-yard receivers next year.
You know, Joe's superpower is that, and when I say Joe Burrow's superpower, we almost went a whole 40 minutes without talking Joe Burrow. What?
How good is this team? Well, we're not going to get to see him probably all preseason. So.
Well, look. Joe's superpower is he does not care. He doesn't discriminate. Whoever's open is getting the ball. So mm-hmm. One thing that I've heard a lot is people have shown a lot of different stats and metrics and stuff. I got to go pretty soon because I got to go to my show.
Yep.
But people will show me a bunch of stuff where, like, well, he struggles against too high looks. Like, show me a lot of quarterbacks after too high looks or whatever. But to your point, that's where Tyler Boyd comes in. Another thing that people don't understand is that Joe Burrow still will be getting sacked because he's a renegade psychopath that does not care. So he will, and he I don't know if you heard his theory on third down and stuff like that. So he's like, yeah, I mean, I'll take sacks, and then we'll just punt the ball. It's just all about field position and stuff on that Note Boys interview or whatever. Like, he talks about taking sacks and stuff. So he's still going to get sacked. The hope is that he doesn't get sacked as much, and the hope that is if he does get sacked, it's his fault, and we'd be like, why don't you throw it away, Joe, right? But the beneficiary, I do agree with this Tyler Boyd, but I think Mixon. Let me give you a stat. Mixon had the worst offensive line production as far as penetration in the National Football League on 52. You hear me, people at home? 52% of every handoff that he ever got. That's more than half of his handoffs. He was met in the backfield. And with that, he still had 1,300 all-purpose yards. And I bring up all-purpose yards because now in 2022, I mean, you got to give me everything. If you're going to be a running back in this league, I need to see you catch whatever. 1,300, still was third in the league in rushing yards with that. The guys that they brought in are good pass protectors. But Alex Kappa, Ted Karras, I call him Teddy Football, and Lyle Collins all rate out when they're, you know, like when they're doing their thing, all top 10 in run blocks in the National Football League. Joe Mixon has played behind the 30th, the 28th, the 26th, the 27th. In this past year, the 24th, with some metrics, 22nd offensive line in football and still had 1,300 yards. And then you just gave him three guys. Two of the guys just blocked for Tom Brady going to a Super Bowl. And you mean to tell me that Joe Mixon isn't going to eat?
Ooh. No, I'm with you on that.
I know that you're with me, but I'm hammering it home. I don't care. The Migos could maybe end up with the damn near the same numbers they had last year. Hayden Hurst maybe pushes the 600 to 800 maybe that Uzama had, right? But Mixon, I just feel like they'll get like a 10, 12, 14-point lead, right? Mixon now gets these handoffs, and he's wearing guys out. And then on the other side, the defense is now pinning their ears. The pressure's off of Joe. He's out of harm's way, not throwing more than 30 times in a game. That's what a real juggernaut really looks like. The NFL isn't like college football where you're just blowing guys out, like scoring 40 a week. We did that, but it's not like that on an every single, you know, weekly basis. It's about controlling field position, controlling the clock, winning up front, and controlling the game and executing your plays the best of your abilities. If you get a lead and then you put yourself in a favorable position, which I think they'll do a lot more this year, Joe Mixon absolutely will eat. You do a weak side handoff, come back, and you got Lyle Collins running in space, second down and six, and your cornerback's making like business decisions. He's got to deal with that. Then I come back and I got to throw a pass at that same corner with Jamar Chase.
This thing is going to be
nasty.
Because now you're not dealing with all that, you know, that too high. Like they got to put another guy in the box because they're getting the butt kiss on the ground. You got one-on-one matchups. You got Higgins on one side. You got Chase on the other. And that's something that they said during the year. Like Zach Taylor actually came out and said that. He's like, you know, like I think it was Hoard. I think Dan Hoard asked them, you know, what do you think? You know, what is your offensive philosophy? And he came out. And he said, hey, like we want to run the ball, and then when they put an extra guy in the box, we're gonna hit it on the outside. I think having the extra O-line allows you to spread it out and to use more of the inside. I think that's where Tyler Boyd comes in. And yes, another name we haven't mentioned this entire time, who I think could be huge this year, that's where Hayden Hurst comes in. Right. I was okay with that signing, but the word out of camp sounds like he is doing awesome.
Man, you know, so, go look at them highlights. Go watch, like, bro, like the way he's running routes. Like, I don't know, like, when you bring him in line, I do think that you'll lose some, you know, as far as, like, blocking. CJ is a phenomenal blocker. Like, I think that part is going under the radar. I really value this blocking. But maybe you lose that. But Hayden Hurst, like, have you seen him? Like, he'll roll up the damn shirt and run routes. I mean, he's got the six-pack, and he's running like a damn wideout. Like, dude is big as hell, and he's running very, very quick. And now that guy's one-on-one with a linebacker. Look, I'm telling you, my day is about eliminating variables. There aren't many variables on this team right now. I don't know why, like, people aren't talking about this team more. I guess it's a good thing. But, Coach, you got to talk to these people about, like, I'm telling you, Joe Mixon, he might run for, like, 4.8 a carry this year. He's never had an offensive line like that. Since Joe Mixon has come into the league, since 2017, there are only four running backs that have more yards than Joe Mixon in the National Football League. And he played behind all of those bad offensive lines. And the kid is only – the kid, he's only 26 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is insane. And we didn't even get to the preseason game because now Chris Evans is out there. You know, like there's so much. Matt, I gotta go. I gotta.
Yeah. You gotta run. Hey, you know, we can do this. Definitely check out their podcast as well. But
please check out the Winston Addy Pod.
Check him out tonight. But
finish out Matt's show. Mine's recorded. Check out Matt. Finish out with the coach. Listen to the coach first. I'm just a player out here. Listen to coach first. Winston Addy Pod. If you get bored, come and check me out. I got some really good stuff. I got Maurice Jones-Drew on there tonight. It's already pre-recorded, but it's a really good interview. He doesn't think that the Bengals are like some elite force. Now, this is Maurice Jones-Drew from NFL Network. I'm challenging him the whole time. I'm like pushing back on a lot of stuff. We go over the Super Bowl throw, how he feels about Logan Wilson's technique. I'm like, the ball's behind him. He's like, no, it's not. It's a little bit of that. He talks about him blocking. Now, I don't know if y'all remember Maurice Jones-Drew block on Sean Merriman, one of the greatest running back blocks of all time. He talks about Joe Mixon's pass blocking skills. I feel like it's a big quotable out of that. So there's a lot of good stuff out of that. Please make sure you continue to support Matt. Check me out. And the Orange and Black Insider. Please make sure you support them. But check me out too. Zim Hude on Twitter and Instagram.
Check it out. Definitely give him a follow. Yeah. Lots of great Bengals content out there. So that's what we get to cross-pollinate. We get to work together in this stuff. So we're going to end this thing together. We started this thing together. We're going to end it together. But we'll see the game. See what goes on out there, and some of those guys that are standing out a little deeper on the depth chart in those battles, I'll have a film room coming for them next week. So again, thanks for joining me, Zim. Thanks for joining me, everybody in the chats. Appreciate it. Hooday.
Hooday.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.